Silver Rise Society.
Welcome to Peasant Radio, where we talk about anything we want. Join us. I want to talk about LibertyCon. The name sounds so kind of like a little lame, a little stuffy. Liberty isn't a hot word, you understand? Liberty doesn't sell. No one wants to hear about liberty anymore. You know, you talk about liberty and immediately people's eyes glaze over. And I think they think you have like a bunker with guns or something. I don't know. The associations with liberty don't tend to be hot nor cool. So I'm here
it's
to change
no
that.
Freedom Fest. Freedom Fest sounds more like a concert or a rally, you know.
Yeah.
Liberty Con, it's like, are you too busy doing business in order to say Liberty Convention? Or you don't want to say convention because convention sounds like something business people go to do boring things.
That's right. And liberty isn't boring. We can't have that. I think that, like, I don't know, I want to bring it back. I want to make liberty popular again. Can we make it cool to be free? Is it cool to have a little freedom nowadays? I don't know. I don't think it is. The kids really like the communist stuff. So did I once upon a time. It was cool. But I'm going to make liberty cool. And I did so at LibertyCon. So LibertyCon was in Miami, which is an excellent choice of a place to hold it. Also largely why I went to it. Because I am from Miami, so I wanted to go back. And what up? You know,
let me ask some questions about it.
I'd rather you not.
The old skeptical Cyber Socrates without his beard.
Boy. I tried to get you to come to LibertyCon. This is what the viewers should know, is that for all your, you know, griping and smirking about LibertyCon, you could have been there. You could have made Liberty cool again. And what did you choose to do? Not. You denied your responsibility to make liberty cool. That's fine.
So I took a look at the guest list and I actually decided I was too cool for LibertyCon, if you want to be honest with you. And also I didn't want to drive to Miami and pay like $50 to park somewhere and be mugged.
Miami isn't but, that bad.
Yeah.
It's no
it's
LA.
Not. No, it's not. My understanding is LibertyCon was canceled last year.
Why?
For COVID. Because, you know, don't want to be too free. Be careful. Too free.
Ooh. Well, look. Okay, I cannot just come on here and shit all over LibertyCon.
You probably should not. That's why I am really skeptical of this entire format of Peasant Radio. This is a new thing, people. We're trying to bring... I think that we're too... This is...
But I.
This will be too free, is the problem.
There's no such thing as too much
there
freedom.
There is. Peasant rebellions end in blood, usually. They end in the peasants being, you know.
Well, we're not. Well, that's not how Peasant Radio ends. See, that's the radio
I
part.
I hope not.
Look, there's many. This is what people don't understand. This is what I never understood. There's many kinds of libertarians. There's many.
Who told you that?
Well, I figured it out myself, okay? So I went to LibertyCon and saw that. And I actually took a really cool picture, which you can find on my social media accounts. I hope you're following them. Where you were able to take a little sticker, and there's all these boxes with political categories like neoliberal, paleoliberal. Libertarian, which I have no fucking clue what that is. Oh, I think they just want to destroy society. They're just like, let it go. Let it all go.
That's not what it is.
What is it, Justin?
Paleoconservatism? Is that what you're thinking of?
No, libertarian. Paleolibertarianism.
It's... Okay, it would just be kind of like...
I told you.
Well, paleoconservatism is more like... what's his name? Pat Buchanan or whatever.
What the fuck?
Old Republican, like, build the
they
wall
call
before
them
build the
paleo?
Wall.
Is that why it's
well, they
paleo?
Call it now. They call it that now because it's old, old conservatism.
I thought it meant, like, well, no, the paleo libertarian one, I think, is that, like, literally they want to return to ancient man, like they're letting society go. Listen, don't ask me questions. It's what I'm going to call it, because it's cooler than if it's what you're talking about. Mine is cooler. So there is also on this sign, anarchist, minarchist, whatever. And you could see, like, people would put the dots. And it was really funny because the people that put the dots for anarchist, they were all over the place. And the people that put it for neoliberal, it's, like, perfectly in line and ordered. So I thought that was funny. But it also speaks to the fact that there's so many different people that are in this kind of like liberty space, which I really appreciate. I think that's really interesting, because that's the whole point, is that as long as you don't fuck with me and I don't fuck with you, you can be a paleo conservatarian. Do it up. Just keep it over there. I respect that. I think that's the only fucking solution at this point, is to put some, how do you call, social distance? What about some political distance? When we put 6 feet of political distance around us all, just back it up. Back up the ideologies. Back up the beliefs. Back it up. Okay, so whatever. I like it. I came back radicalized, okay?
Okay. Paleo, just so people know, it's paleo libertarianism. So, you know, isn't people doing the paleo diet? Why wasn't I paid to go and speak? This is my question. Like, you know, it makes it. Okay. So it is the union of paleo conservatives with libertarians. I looked it up, but that is the basic.
That's
idea.
So much less exciting than the misinformation I was trying to That's spread. True. Why did you just make so many people's lives way more boring? That's not helpful. They would have enjoyed living life going around believing that there's paleo libertarians that want to go back to the Stone Age. I liked having that belief, and now I don't.
That would be paleolithic. We don't have a word of the podcast on the peasant radio, unfortunately, but lithic is stone. Paleo is just...
Paleo.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Paleolithicianism.
Continue. This is why peasant revolts never succeed.
So, cool. I went to a party. I went to an after party at LibertyCon hosted by Atheists for Liberty. And see, this is what's so funny about this liberty space, is that everybody has their shtick. You know, you got the paleo libertarians, you got the Atheists for Liberty, you got the Ladies of Liberty. Everybody comes to this idea kind of from their own perspective. And the Atheists for Liberty party was interesting. That's as far as I'll comment. It was interesting. And they did give out these little hangover cure things, which I appreciated, but I don't think it worked too well. So, but it's just funny because I'm there and I'm like, you know what? I'm not really that like hot on the atheism. I don't think that's the most important thing. But for them, for whatever their process in life is right now, they view secularism as their battle.
God
is their battle. That's who they must fight, and that's I respect it. I'll go to your fucking party. That's what it should all be. You just go to everybody's party and then you say, look, I leave.
This is fun and nice as a way of treating people at parties. This is not an idea for government. You understand that?
I disagree.
Okay, but you're wrong.
Government should be a party. What it already is a party. It's just not many people are fucking invited. It's only the people that are like, you know, doing crack or sending lots of money to Ukraine that are having the parties, as opposed to the peasants. The peasants should fucking party. And what did they do? They tried to stop us from partying for years. That's what the lockdown was about. They just said, don't let them party. Meanwhile, government.
Meanwhile, LibertyCon canceled their own convention the year before because they were afraid of COVID. Even though my understanding isn't mainly students, isn't like a bunch of young people
that's
to go to this?
That's probably why.
Or is it, I don't know what it is.
The students are students not. Or if it's, it is students. No, it's hosted by students. It's Students for Liberty.
My understanding is these are the kind of the left-wingy libertarians, the kind of like the ones that are losing also within their own party. Like basically the Mises Caucus took over the Libertarian Party. So
okay,
was there a feeling of And again, look, I'm no expert on this because I'm not a libertarian. But was there a feeling that they had lost and they were? What was the overall feeling?
What did you think? LibertyCon was just like a funeral procession? Everybody just walked around with their heads down?
I don't know what it is. I don't understand what it is.
It's just a bunch of people talking. It's just a convention where you get to see a bunch of people talking. And they're all going to be, the talks are all going to be centered around a similar idea, which is liberty, increasing that and whatever. So it was people talking about the failures of left-wing government in Latin America, people talking about culture war issues. I spoke about creative freedom. My talk was very interesting. I got fucked over, though, because someone's talk in the room that I was going to be talking in ran longer than mine, and I'm a convention noob. You want to hear? This is a really sad story. I'm a convention noob, so I was like, oh, it's okay. Let them keep going. I'm going to go do some vocal exercises over there. And I took a little too long, I guess. And when I came back, they were like, they're looking for you. Like, everybody's looking for you to give you your badge, to get you set up, to get you started. The talk before you ended and you've been gone for almost 20 minutes. It's like, fuck. So I was late.
So you were late for your own talk.
I was late for my own fucking
surprise,
talk.
Surprise.
Dude, the fucked up thing is that I was there 30 minutes early. I was actually there on time, but I walked away because it was not ready, the room yet. And then I walked away for too long. And so that was a bad move because someone that was there waiting for me said that like a lot of people left. But a lot of people came back. So whatever, we had a good talk. And the ones that stayed, they know who they are. And they were rewarded because my talk was really interesting. Also, I was like billed against this guy, Inez Freedom, I think. He's a basketball player, you understand? Doesn't matter. So whatever. He's one of the more famous people there. So, you know, people were like, if she's not here, we're going to go see the famous basketball player. Be it as it may.
I don't
may,
think his name's probably Freedom.
He changed it. He changed it. So, so I spoke.
That's what I imagine the energy is sometimes. At LibertyCon, I was looking through the slate of speakers because you invited Cyber Socrates. First off, let's let everyone understand.
That would have been, first of all, that maybe was better that did not happen because my major, like one of the directors on the board for my company went to see my talk and some other person that works at the company went to see my talk. So that would have been interesting. I mean, I stand by it. I do whatever the fuck I want. I will do it. That's why I was the one that was trying to get you to go. And you chickened out.
I didn't want to go. It was too far away to drive and I just didn't want to go.
Fine.
Plus, like everything you suggest, it was late and ill thought out. But I do respect you for at least... I inspect you for inviting Cyber Socrates to LibertyCon. But no, I did not go.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll see. Next year, maybe if COVID-23 doesn't cancel it, then we'll...
Look.
Cyber Socrates got to get paid, too. I mean, Cyber Socrates... I'm not like you. Cyber Socrates, it's paid engagements only.
No,
so.
You're not like me. That's why you are not at LibertyCon, and I am. So let's.
Well, how much do you get paid?
What are we doing here? am I gonna get tested for performance enhancing drugs too? Like, would you like a whole background?
Did they
on
test
me?
You for COVID before you went in?
No.
I'm not. Look, I'm just foiling. That's what I like to say.
Foil yourself. Okay. Because what I'm
Move
here to
along.
Do. Let's talk about my talk. I'm gonna give a talk
please.
About my talk. So, so you know that I spoke about this idea of creative freedom, and it was realistically I did bite off a little more than I probably could chew because it's such a massive topic. The idea of how individual repression and your own failures as an individual actually create fertile ground for failure of society through cultivating a population that desires authoritarianism. And I use my own history of that. Like when I was like most fucking up in life, like most broke, most confused, most depressed, most unhealthy, most fucking lost, I was most ideologically captured. And I think that's not an accident. I think that's not a coincidence. And because the other side of that is that the better I'm doing, the less I want anyone to tell me what to do, and the less I want to tell anyone what to do. And that's actually been incredibly helpful for me, is to go through that process, which is essentially a process of freedom, becoming an individual, becoming free of the desire to, you know, cling to an ideology or worry that someone's going to criticize me if I take some position on something, whatever. So wonderful. I try to connect these things and say, like, well, you know, you can't force people to be more free. That's actually not what happens, because then that's not even freedom. Then you have to, like, the really organic change that needs to happen is one that's within the individual, that they have this desire to become more free and open, as opposed to like hiding behind ideology and using authoritarian tools like manipulation, like coercion, like, you know, social exile. All of that shit is authoritarian. We don't notice it, though, because we think of authoritarianism as political and as the state. But I think an individual can be an authoritarian. An individual can use authoritarian tactics in their own relationship. Like, if you are trying to pressure your partner or coerce them to get your way, you're essentially negating their free will, their autonomy, to try to get your way, because you have a problem that you're unable to satisfy your own needs and unable to sit with your problems, and you have to get something from some other person, which is wrong. You don't need that. You don't need to get anything from another person. Essentially, you should be whole as an individual. And so when these tactics of manipulation, right, it's always people that are like insecure, that don't want you to criticize them, or they have some kind of like personal struggle like this, that cling to these authoritarian tactics, which is exactly what I did. I would do this shit in relationships. I would try to like say the right thing or censor myself or like kind of just like convince someone, oh, this is what we should do or whatever it is. Instead of respecting, no, this is not what they want to do, or this is, it's not working or whatever it is. Let it be what it is, as opposed to trying to control everything, which is an authoritarian ethos. So I tried to talk about this, which obviously is massive.
A little much, right? I think you should have left it probably at the... Because I think you have a good point about that.
A little much.
People that are weak tend to look or hide behind ideologies. They can be left or right, honestly.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Ideologies. So I think that part's true. I think you do get into a little bit, then just when you start going over into the personal and all this kind of stuff, and that's a little much for a 20-minute talk or whatever it was. Further, I think that all of this is good. I generally endorse it, even though it sounds a little bit like psychology, which I'm suspicious of, but I am deeply suspicious of.
But I do psychology. I'm like more of a Freudian, okay? Like I'm in this time of psychology that actually was insightful, which is also like Freud influenced Nietzsche to some degree. So listen, I'm in that era. I'm doing...
No, that is incorrect.
What is it, the other way around?
Nietzsche influenced Freud.
Oh, okay.
Nietzsche was dead by the time
no,
Freud
I
was
thought that they were... Are you sure?
Well, you also thought paleo conservatives were doing the red meat only nuts diet. So yeah, I'm sure. Because people say Nietzsche in some ways was one of the first psychologists.
Yeah.
And Freud picked up stuff.
But who the fuck? Someone probably told me recently. Can we look this up? Can we do a fact check?
You can, because you need to. But someone, I'm right, and so I don't need to.
Recently.
So I'll go ahead and also say the other thing I was...
Of course you're right. I knew that this... I don't know. Who was the
fuck? Of course you're right. Thank you. Now, the other thing I would say about this is this is all good.
Who told me this misinformation about Freud and Nietzsche?
Don't know.
Who led me astray?
The other thing I would say is great on an individual level. I endorse it. Be free. All that. I don't think it has much to do with governing.
You're wrong.
Well, I don't think I am. And I don't think, unfortunately, this idea of like, let everybody just believe what they want to believe or be what they want to be on this political spectrum or whatever, and somehow assuming that that means everyone gets along, that makes no sense whatsoever.
Bro.
Because each of these people believe things that they wish to impose upon the world, on the government, and on other people, ultimately, in order to see their vision forward. So there is no coherent idea of, let's all, like the communists hold hands with Murray Rothbard, and then he holds them with like, you know, it doesn't make any sense. They wish to obtain power.
But that's because that they
are. It's because they believe in something, actually.
No. This is your. Okay, listen, listen. First of all, Freud was contemporary with Nietzsche. I just looked it up. And second of all, Nietzsche just died really early. And second of all, that's the problem, is that you won't have that desire to coerce and force people if you transcend as a fucking individual. That's my point, is that that desire.
So you think that if you transcend as an individual, you will suddenly have no political outlook?
No, I think your political outlook actually changes, just like mine did.
To
one that does not prefer to use coercion and force on other people.
You understand that's this the absence of government. There is no government then, right?
So I'm okay with this.
Right. And let's go to the next point, which is that now you think you're an anarchist. You went to the Libertarian Convention and somehow turned into an anarchist because you think that somehow through self-realization, everyone becomes anarchist.
This is a hope. This is the hope. That's myself.
I don't think it's even a bad hope. You know what? I want to be easy on this a bit because I like... I wish it were possible.
Nervously drinking my kombucha.
I wish it were possible, and I get the idea.
Look, I've lived it. I'm the proof of the revolution, okay? I went from being a typical coercion and force using leftist, both viewing it as right in government, but then not understanding that I was actually doing this in my own personal life, like people pleasing shit. When you're trying to get people to like you or avoid criticism, that's actually a form of manipulation and coercion, because you are trying to extract a reaction from people by being false and being dishonest. And so this is also, to me, a facet of authoritarianism. It's what completely changed me when I realized, oh, I'm authoritarian in every sphere, and if you deal with this personal sphere, then it extends out into the social, the societal sphere.
I do think you understand, but you're not differentiating the difference between authoritarianism and authority.
No, I'm this is not something I brought up in this. I'm talking about authoritarianism.
Right, but authority also tells people what to do and makes things legal.
Well, this is assumedly that they have agreed to have that person be an authority and that they view that authority as legitimate. So that's...
But in your worldview, everyone becomes self-realized, and then that means they all want people to do whatever they want to do. So of course, a fragmented multiverse of opinions could never agree upon any sort of authority to carry out anything whatsoever.
Okay, then we don't need authority.
But you do, because it's like, you do, unfortunately.
But what kind of authority are you talking about? Is it like authority through way of being skilled at something? Like, isn't a doctor an authority on doing surgery? And in that case, you want an authority on a medical procedure. And I think everybody is not going to be like, no, I don't want an authority, you know, in terms of like turning to someone that actually knows how to do the thing, and thus we give them the power and the allowance to do the thing.
Right, and that person has to somehow verify themselves as having worked. They have to get credentials in order to become a verified authority in surgery or whatever.
Okay.
Right? That requires some sort of governing body.
No, it doesn't
necessarily have to be
privatize it.
Okay.
And a lot of those licensing things are privatized anyway. Don't they have like, you know, they're like fake. A lot of that licensing shit is fake.
No, medical licensing is through the state.
Well, medical licensing. There's other license where people get a certificate or whatever. And if you made it more robust, right? If you made it more robust, then you could do the medical licensing too. Just privatize it.
So I can, and I hate to do this because it's really easy. And I don't think you're a very good defender of the concept of anarchy.
No, I'm not.
Because apparently you just became an anarchist 3 days ago. But you realize I could just call myself a doctor and be on the internet. And as long as I made a really good webpage and like wrote up people like saying Pat Buchanan, I did surgery on Pat Buchanan. He's really happy with the results. And this would require you to then like be very, this kind of thing works in probably a village or something, a really small place, because you can go over to Jimmy John and be like, hey, is that guy a surgeon? It's like, it's not like anyone doesn't know, but in a gigantic urban area where no one knows anyone, we unfortunately do rely upon credentials.
I just don't know why it has to be the state that provides those credentials, because at this point the state is failing to actually give credentials to people that deserve them. I mean, you have a bunch of people that are in positions of power that are supposed to be capable of wielding their credentials who are clearly not. So I don't actually know if the state is such a competent institution for placing out credentials at all. You know, like maybe there's a different way to do that, which would be a private system, which I know does exist in other spheres, not the medical, not super important things, obviously, because those have become so important that they've been entangled with the state. But you could imagine a private alternative to that. And yeah, you would probably have multiple ones, right? But then you would check and say, let's see if Jimmy John is actually registered with private credentials, conglomerate of America. And then you call them up and they're like, no, we don't know who the fuck Jimmy John is. And you're like, oh, Jimmy John, you lied. I'm not going to do surgery with you.
Right. Except then American Credentialism for Surgeons .inc at .biz would take Jimmy John's business, because Jimmy John would pay him something to pretend to be a doctor, so that when you called him, they would say, oh yeah, he's the best surgeon in your area.
And then you would die, and then you would get into a bad surgery, and then that would be the end. And then this American Credentialism Inc. would go out of business, because people would know that they're sketchy and irreputable, which happens to businesses normally anyway. Like, you know that a place like, we have review systems, we turn to the private sector, like Yelp. I looked Jimmy John up on Yelp. They're like, you know that actually so many people have died here. That's what we have. That's the reputation. They would constantly have to shift their reputation then.
That's not actually how it would have to work out. But yeah, that would be some help to have that independent authority. The problem
like
is
the
if AmericanCredentialism.biz owns Yelp, and there's no reason they can't own Yelp, and they create their own little kind of orbits of lies in order to put people forward. Eventually, again, you have the village-city problem, which is in a village, you'd know right after the first dummy got a surgery with Jimmy John, you would know he was a fraud.
So the problem is that you would end up with a system that is self-perpetuating and actually incompetent at what it does.
So I think that there would be pluses and minuses to it. Let me put it that way.
Well, I just described the actual government, so
not entirely, though.
It is a self-perpetuating system that does not actually respond to failure, but is designed to suppress its own failures and to keep itself in power, and it is a monopoly on whatever it, you know, is involved in.
Well, it's not always a monopoly on everything.
No,
actually, the idea is the state is a monopoly on violence. That's the main monopoly they have. Which, you know,
and
look,
how is
I mean,
it going? And how is it going?
It's
anarchism.
Not great,
I just think it's fun.
I understand. And I think you should dance with the
anarchy,
liberty atheists, and have fun talking about it and all that. But I just don't know. And I like Michael Malice. I think he's clever. I think he's fun. I think he's a genuinely actually good person, weirdly. And I like some of the hardcore libertarian people. And I think that it's useful. I've been fucking around with them a lot. But like, I actually think a lot of these ideas are useful. And some of them should probably even be put into practice. I'm just not entirely convinced about I'm just not entirely convinced about all aspects of it. That's all.
I mean, I'm not entirely convinced about all aspects of anything. That's why
it's also
I decided
very hard
to be
have
an
a
anarchist
record.
Yesterday, and then I'll change that tomorrow. You know, and then we'll go.
Right.
You need a record.
There's a difference between self-realization and free. You know, there's a difference between freedom through self-realization, whatever it is you're on right now, with your hallucinogenic kombucha California spirit going on. There's a difference between that and just not being sure what you believe. And I think we're all, especially in this time period, there's a lot of shakeup. A lot of people are wondering what the fuck and what it is that they should believe. And so I endorse the liberty and or freedom of trying to figure it out.
You need that. You need the liberty to figure out your beliefs. That's why I like that kind of space where you're actually able to question. All the libertarians I know, they don't get fucking bent out of shape if you're like, yeah, I don't know why that I don't know if that would work. Like, how would that work? They just tell you. They're like, this is actually what I think. This is why it would work. This is why I think it would work. They're not like, you're a racist. How dare you say that? What about the roads? That, you know, that the roads would be the thing or whatever. Like, they just actually give you reasons. So I kind of like that because it feels normal. So
it's a very nerdy, intellectual type thing. And I endorse it. I think it's great and all. I just, you know, and it's just one of those things where, I'm not, and maybe I'm just wrong, but it's kind of like, you know, you ask for a track record of success sometimes to measure whether something works or not. And it's real difficult to get a track record on anarchy because it's like, how did it work whenever this time period was, wherever this place was, where no one was in control? And like, let's measure that against something else. And there's not a lot of times in modern history where that you even have the ability to kind of measure that against other things.
But maybe the point of anarchy is just like that you never actually achieve it. It's just that the impetus, like that there's a group that pushes towards always dismantling the state is necessary because the state is always pushing itself towards expansion.
Yes, I actually totally agree with that. That's what I think that's absolutely right.
What a perfect place to end this podcast.
I actually do, though. I actually really do agree with that.
I think this is how the things work. I know things. This is why I go to speak at LibertyCon and you don't. But you do speak on this podcast. And this is an excellent, fine podcast. The people love it. So subscribe, like, do the things. Leave us comments. Do you want to be an anarchist? Maybe just a little bit? Would you try it on? What do you think? Who cares? Just tell us. What other questions for the people? You have questions for the people? Give them instructions. People like to be interactive. We like to interact.
I let you do that. I'm the quiet authority.
Okay. Wow. That's, I already immediately, this is why anarchy is necessary. See? Because the tyrant is always lurking.
Not a tyrant. There is a difference between an authority and a tyrant, or an authority and an authoritarian system.
You literally just named yourself the authority. That is.
Yes.
No.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm an authority too then. Now we're both authorities and now we're equal and now there's no authority.
And I'm an anarchist, so feel free to pretend like you're an authority.
See you guys on the next episode.
Could I introduce you briefly for next LibertyCon? Here's how I want to do it. Ready?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage. Salomé Siboney, the modern authority on paleo-libertarianism. Give a big hand for Salomé Siboney.